Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Amen. Thank you all for being here tonight on this beautiful Wednesday, huh? Did everybody enjoy the day? I don't like this. I'm going to trade music stands. I don't like this music stand. It's nice to be here tonight. Pastor Matt and I have traded Wednesday nights. He was here last Wednesday. And I took Faith to a choir concert. Now, I'm here this Wednesday, and he's taken Faith to a choir concert. So, we get a switch off. Amen? Yeah. It's good to see everybody. Good to see. All right. So, before I came to the Lord, I lived my life in such a way that basically I just lived for myself and got myself into a lot of trouble in a lot of different ways, did a lot of different things. Some of y'all know my testimony. I don't need to share it tonight, but let's just say that I did, in my 22 years on this earth before I got saved, I did just about everything imaginable. Okay. If you can think of it, short from murdering someone, although don't think I didn't think about it. And I am from Texas, and I did have guns, so. drugs, sex, alcohol, all the things, that was my past. And so when I came to the Lord, I had just turned 23, and, I had so many people tell me because of my past that it discounted me from doing anything, from having children and getting married, to being in the ministry, to doing anything that God might have called me to. I had a ton of people tell me, they're like, you that's dead. You just need to forget about it, and you just need to, just think about serving God, and so for a long time, I really thought because of my past and because of things that I had done or just because of the circumstances that any hope for a future was dead, right? That any hope for a future was dead. Any hope for me to be a minister was dead, basically, is what I was told. I have a really good word tonight. Turn with me to John chapter 11. Starting in verse 38. Now this is the resurrection of Lazarus here. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, he came to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, says unto him, "Lord, but this time he stinks, for he's been dead 4 days." But Jesus said to her, "Did not I say unto you that if you would believe, you should see the glory of God?" The word I have for you tonight from the Lord, God said this to me. He said, God wants to roll away the stone that's been put over the things that you have deemed as dead. And God wants to bring them to life. Amen. Y'all should get excited about this. Because when the Lord spoke this word to me, I began to weep. He said, "I want to roll away the stone." See, we serve a living God. He is alive and well. God is not a God of the dead. He is a God of the living. He's a God of the living, not of the dead. Matthew 22, 31 through 32. He says, but concerning the resurrection of the dead, you have not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Mark chapter 12, 26 through 28. But concerning the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of dead, but the God of the living. Luke 20, 37 through 39. And even Moses showed in the burning bush passage that the dead are raised when he called the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. These things that seem dead in our life, God wants to resurrect and bring life to. If you will allow him tonight, he wants to roll away that stone over things that you have counted dead, and he wants to bring life to them. Amen? Amen. Y'all should be getting excited about this. Romans 4, 16 through 18, I love this. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. For as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. I don't have the power to call those things that be not as though they were, but I know the one who has the power to call those things that be not as though they were. This is the God that we serve, the God that calls things that are not as though they were. Do y'all understand that? We serve a God that calls those things that are not as though they were already. This is the God that we serve. There's a lot of people in the Bible that God spoke something to them. There was something over their life, and they waited for years until it came to pass. And being a human, as all these people were, I would assume at some point, they just assume that that vision, that promise was dead. Because, you know, when you think about people like Joseph, right? He waited 13 to 15 years for that promise. Y'all remember Joseph. Joseph was the one, the coat of many colors, right? You know, dancing around the coat, Technicolor, you know, isn't there a show about him? Show about Joseph? And he was 17 when he had a vision that the stars were going to bow down to him, right? And it was almost 15 years later until he saw that, realized. And this man went through hardship. He went through trials. He was in prison. He was put in a pit by his own brethren. Don't tell me that you wouldn't think, well, that's just not going to happen. Right? This is human nature. We read these stories and like, oh, he had great faith and he just believed this whole time. Well, you know, I love the parts that show the human nature, right? The human nature of people that lose hope and get depressed and go through things. They're like, where are you, God? Abraham waited 24 years for Isaac. Hello? I like Lazarus. Lazarus, right? Jesus waited until Lazarus was dead in his tomb before he came to him. Martha's hopes died with Lazarus. You know, she says back in earlier in the chapter, she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. David waited 15 years to become king. Meanwhile, being chased by Saul the whole time. At one point, what'd he say? You know, this king thing was just, ugh. Right? How many of these great people of the Bible thought that those things that they had dreamed or envisioned or were promised died because of their situations, right? But we need to be people that look at the unseen, not the seen. We need to hold to what God says, not what others say. Right? God wants to bring life to our situations. Okay? He wants to bring life to those things. Things that we thought were dead. And God says, oh no, I want you to roll away the stone. Because it's still alive. We serve a living God that resurrects dead things. So what are some of these things? So the first one is your purpose. Satan has lied to you about your purpose and you feel like you missed your time. That's for somebody. Satan has lied to you and you feel like you've missed your time. You feel like it's done, it's over. It doesn't matter what's happened to us in the past. If God has called you to a task, He will complete it. If God has called you to do something, He will complete it. It is not dead because of your circumstances. It is not dead because of what you've done. It's not dead because of your past. God says it's alive. You need to roll away that stone. This is seen in Joseph, right? That man at 17 that saw these great things, put into a pit by his brothers, told his father that he was dead. His father actually believed he was dead, right? Sold into slavery into Egypt, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, put into prison. Right? He went through some hard times. Can you imagine when his father said, your son is alive? Your son is alive. He was made a ruler over Egypt, only second to Pharaoh himself at the age of 30. But at what time through these situations do you not think he said, that dream is dead? I mean, in a prison? In a pit, and I can't imagine, folks, that prison back then was very good. It's not like it is now. I can't imagine it was very good. No amount of opposition can stop God from fulfilling your calling and purpose. Nothing. Not divorce, not family, not abuse, not sickness. Nothing and no one. Nothing and no one. Now the second thing God said. God wants to resurrect dead marriages. God wants to resurrect dead marriages. Some of y'all have rolled the stone over your marriage. There is nothing that has happened in the marriage that God cannot and will not bring back to life. Amen. Not adultery, not abuse, not addiction, nothing. God wants to resurrect dead marriages. He wants to. See, I hear this all the time. Oh, we just grew apart. Or, I love them, but I'm not in love with them. Or this one, we got married for the wrong reasons. These are lies we tell ourselves because we think the grass is greener on the other side. God wants to bring life into that marriage. He wants it to be abundant. He wants your marriage to be abundant. Right? Jesus said, I come that they might have life and life more abundantly. This does not mean we're going to be, you know, driving around Mercedes-Benzes and, you know, having gold sunglasses. I saw those on Pawn Stars the other day. Pawn shops. What is that? Is that right? But yeah. Golden sunglasses. He wants marriages to be abundant, to be full. Right? Marriage is hard work. It is. But God wants to roll away that stone and bring life to your marriage. And make it better than it's ever been. He wants to make it better than it's ever been. Now, first, you have to want him to. You have to want him to. If you don't want him to come into your marriage, folks, God, the Holy Spirit, is a gentleman. And he will not come in where he is not welcome. And so if you're not inviting him into your marriage, he just says, okay, you want to live like that? You can live like that. You have to want him to. Secondly, we have to stop believing lies and start believing his word. We have to stop listening to what everybody else is saying and listen to what the word of God says. And can I tell you, folks, sometimes family is your worst enemy, your marriage's worst enemy. Seriously, sometimes family is your marriage's worst enemy. You got to tune those things out. This is also a lie. Because I've been divorced once, it's okay to do it again. See, I believe in marriage. I believe in marriage. And it's okay, and or rather, it's right and good to have gone through something sinful and still believe it's sinful. See, people get this mindset of, well, you know, I've been divorced before, so I can't really tell anybody else that, you know, they shouldn't get a divorce. I had an abortion, so I can't really tell anybody else they shouldn't get an abortion. Folks, sin is sin. It doesn't matter what our past is. Man, let go of that. Let go of that, get healed of that, and stand on God's word. It is not God's will for people to get a divorce. It's God's will for people to be reconciled. Amen. It's God's will for marriages to be restored, to be made whole. It's always been God's will. It's God's will that your marriage is fulfilling, is fruitful, is good. Amen? The next thing. Some of you have allowed your health to dictate your life. We need to roll away that stone. We need to roll away that stone. Don't count your body as dead. Amen. God wants to bring life to your body. And some people use your health as an excuse for reasons why they cannot do things. I'm looking right back at Crystal, man, and she doesn't allow her body to tell her what she can and can't do. Amen. But we use it a lot. People use their health a lot. Well, you know, this is just the way it is. I guess my body's just dead, and so I can't do those things. Some of us need to just take better care of our temples. That's part of it, with food and exercise. And some people do have diseases that are limiting, but you can open up your home. You can make a meal. You can visit someone else who's hurting. Right? There's still things that we can do. We can't allow health to be an excuse. We've got to roll away that stone. I love in Hebrews 11:11-12, it says, by faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude. Abraham and Sarah, they deemed their bodies as dead, right? And God said, oh, contraire. Contraire, mon frère. That's some of my French that I remember. Contraire. See, I was like that. I counted my health as dead. For some of y'all that know that I had OD'd when I was 17 and caused some problems on the left side of my body, and so for a long time I had circulation problems and stuff, and I went to see doctors and you know, they send you all over the place. I went to a rheumatologist, and so with the rheumatologist I had Raynaud's. Do y'all know what Raynaud's? I was talking to someone. Raynaud's. And so it's like some circulation problems going on in my body. And these are precursors to like rheumatoid arthritis and lupus and all these things. So they're checking this. And rheumatoid arthritis runs in my family. And I was having all this joint pain and all this pain in my body. And so they want me to put on this, some kind of heart medicine that opens up your arteries and veins. So you can get the blood to the end and stuff. I said, you know, do I want to live on medication? Oh my gosh, do I want to do this? And I began praying about it. You know, I'm like, Lord, heal me. Lord, heal me. Heal me. Heal me. I've been praying that for a long time. Lord, heal me. And really, I used my body as an excuse lots of times. Say, I don't feel good. I can't do that. I'm having problems right now. I'm really sore. I can't do this. And so I used it for excuse for a lot of times. And about 4 or 5 years ago, and I think I shared this with some of my women, my friend Jennifer and I were sitting, and she said, you know, she's like, Crystal, I believe the Lord wants you on a Daniel fast. And I was like, she said, it'll help your body. And you know, and when I did the Daniel fast, when I would do it, I would feel good in my body, and my circulation would be restored. I mean, I could feel the changes in my body. But, you know, I said, well, I'm not doing that for the rest of my life. That's what I said. I said, I'm not doing that for the rest of my life. Well, this last year, it's been really, really bad. Last year was really, really bad. And so after the Daniel fast, I was praying and I was like, Lord, when are you going to heal me? And the Lord's like, when are you just going to obey me? And so I said, you know, and he goes, and he brought me to the scripture, you know, that says life is more than your body. Life is more than food and clothing, right? And I was like, oh man, life is more than food and clothing. Is it worth it for me to feel better to have to stay on a restricted diet for the rest of my life? Yes, it is. Because my life is more than food. You know, and it was the way in which God had told me that he was going to bring health. But I had to obey. I had to obey. See, that's part of this rolling of the way the stone is that we have to obey. Because God wants to bring life to these things. But if we don't obey him, it ain't coming. We've got to roll away that stone because there's life in that. There's life in those things that he's promising us. But we've got to be willing to say, okay, I'm going to do that, God. Because I want the life that you're giving me. I want the life your way, not my way. Does that make sense? Another thing we need to roll away the stone on is other people's salvation. Some of us have given up on people and counted them as dead. We've given up on people. And counted them as dead. What's interesting is when you count something as dead, you stop paying attention to it. You stop praying about it. You stop talking to it. You know, my grandmother died in 1997, and she was really close. She was like my mom to me. You know, and guess what? I don't talk to her anymore. I don't pray for her. I don't call her up. I think about her, but, you know, she's dead. When something's dead, you don't pay attention to it. I don't bring her meals. She's not there. Right? She's dead. When something's dead, you don't pay attention to it. We cannot count people as dead. We never, never, never give up praying for people. never lose hope on somebody else coming to the Lord. We can't. We got to continue to pray for them. We got to continue to lift them up in prayer. We got to continue to love on them. We can't. It doesn't matter. I can see people's faces. I have people in my life that I have counted as dead. I'm like, oh, you know what? They're just too far gone. I have people in my life that I counted as dead. And I said, you know what? God, you're never going to reach them. They're gone. I'm just giving up hope. I've just given up all hope on them, right? Just, I counted them as dead. And the Lord's like, roll away that stone. Don't count them as dead. Relationships. What relationships have you counted dead that God wants to roll away that stone? What relationships have you counted as dead that God wants to roll away that stone? Now, certainly, listen, there's some relationships that need to stay dead. Okay? There are some relationships that God, if God has removed from your life, you need to allow Him to remove that. But God said there are other relationships that people have been praying for and longing for and wanting in their life. And you've thought they were dead. And God says, I want to bring life to those. I want to bring life to those relationships. I want to bring life to those family relationships that have been destroyed. Amen? He wants to resurrect those things, those relationships you've longed for. The last thing is anything that you thought was lost and gone forever. Dreams, visions, right? These are things God wants to bring life to. Do you know why Abraham sacrificed Isaac? It tells us in Hebrews 11. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he had also received him in a figurative sense. Abraham offered up Isaac because he was fully convinced that God was going to raise him from the dead. Fully convinced. Fully convinced. He knew that what God had spoken to him about Isaac, he had faith that God was going to do what God said he would do. And so if God was going to, if this child was going to die, Abraham believed God was going to raise him from the dead. That's why he brought Isaac up the hill. Because he was fully convinced that if Isaac died, God was going to raise him up. That's the kind of faith that we need. Abraham was fully convinced that God was faithful to keep his promise and that he was all powerful enough to raise Isaac from the dead. Do you believe that? Do you look at your situations and believe that God can bring life to that situation? Do you look at your marriage and believe that God can restore and resurrect that dead marriage? That dead relationship? That dead vision? With all of this, we need to listen and obey what He is telling us to do in order to receive that life. We have got to obey God and roll away that stone. We've got to allow God to do these things that He wants to do, right? We have to roll away that stone and allow Him to do it in the manner in which He wants to do it. Because some of y'all here have been praying for life and situations, and God says, I'm bringing it, but you need to do it my way. Don't try to do it your way. You know, Jesus waited 3 days to go to Lazarus. Jesus could have went right away when he was sick, when Lazarus got sick, but he waited till Lazarus was dead and in the tomb before he went. We got to allow him to do things his way. The way in which he sees fit. Now, y'all know me. There's one thing that he wants us to be dead to. Dead to sin. Did you say it, sister? God wants us to be dead to sin. And I talk a lot about this because it's not addressed enough. And I don't believe that we have to keep on sinning. I do not believe that. I believe that the death and resurrection of Christ with the empowering Holy Spirit is powerful enough for us to overcome every and all sin that comes our way. If you say you have to continue to sin, then you say what he did on the cross was not enough. Then you're in a bad place. We can overcome all sin, any and all sin, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 6:11-12 says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it. Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. See, when we are living in our sin, we're still dead. In Christ, we become alive. We're alive. And he says, I am not the God of the dead, but of the living. He's the God of the living. Amen? Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. It says, lay aside every weight. I was just thinking about this morning on my run, consequently. I used to work with our youth at my old church, and one of my girls ran track for UTSA. And she was long distance. And, you know, it's a little bit different from long distance than the sprinters, right? And so she came in, and she is like the thinnest little thing you've ever seen. And she's all, my coach wants me to lose 2 pounds. And I'm like, from where? And she's all, but if I lose 2 pounds, I can shed like up to, she said, I can shed probably close to 2 to 3, maybe 5 seconds off my time. That's what running does. That's what long distance running is about. The less weight you have, the further and faster you can go. Isn't it interesting the Holy Spirit knew this? Isn't that interesting the Holy Spirit knew this? He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us so we can run the race set before us. Some coach probably thinks he came up with that, but it was Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you will allow God tonight to roll away that stone on whatever it is, and I don't know what it is that needs life in your life. Maybe it's the purpose for your life, and you think that you have just gone too far and done too much, and that anything for a good life is done away with. God wants to bring life to that. Man, if you are in Christ, it says, any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things are passed away and all things become new. Let him bring life to those situations that you deemed as dead. And we need to start talking and acting like God is the one that calls those things that be not as though they were. And allow him to change those situations. Folks, that's what hope is. That's what faith is not being able to see it, but believing it anyways. I can't see it. I don't know how it's going to come to pass. I don't know how to do it. Well, that's good. You're in a good place then. He doesn't want you to know how to do it. He wants us to trust him that he knows how to do it. Amen? Amen. I'm going to pray real quick and then Ryan will close us tonight. Father, I just lift this time up unto you, Lord, and I ask you, God, to reveal to every one of us, God, those places in our lives that we have allowed just dead thinking and wrong thinking, Father. Those places that we've rolled a stone over that thing and we've said, this is dead. And you said, oh, no, it's not. I want to roll away that stone because it is still alive. Father, speak to your people tonight, your word, Lord. I pray that you bring life to those situations, God. Life to people's plans and purposes. Life to dreams and visions, Father God. Bring life to marriages. Bring life to relationships, Father God. And I know, Holy Spirit, I know how you work. So right now, you're speaking to everybody something that you want to bring life to. Father, and we pray for that. Bring life to health. Father, Holy Spirit, we just ask you right now, do your work in your people. Move mightily, Lord. Father, and bring life to those situations that we counted as dead, Father, in the name of Jesus.